This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Free your mind.
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In Earl's biblical sense, I am beyond the pretense. Ben Hooker,
sex worker,
wench, vow, mastermind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, I begins to gather, send me a witch. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
That's a shotgun. Needs an outcome. I'm your prostitute.
Sex worker, damn it.
Get some.
Tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right, you're here on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is both publicly broadcasted to your radios and available online all the time that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If you would like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour all throughout the week, you can like us on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/sexworkerradio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Vixen Hour is our handle. It would be awesome to be socially connected to you. Also, if you would like to take part in the conversation tonight, you can send in text messages on 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. Or giving us a phone call at the front desk on 1300 Joy 949. You can also send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. It would be really awesome to hear from you. We are talking about something really...
Thank you for turning me on.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go. That's better. I'm finally turned on now, which is appropriate.
It is appropriate, considering our topic.
Because today we're actually talking about sex.
Yeah, which is... a bit unusual. When we were trying to come up with a topic today, it is our 40th show.
That's right. We've made it all the way to our 40th show, and we still haven't specifically talked about sex.
Which is perhaps a bit unusual for sex workers. Well, and look, you know, I think that one of the stereotypes that we challenge here at the Vixen Hour is that the lives of sex workers are all about sex. And actually, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happens in our lives. And I think that it's taken us this long to get to sex is a real indication of, you know, the complex stuff that we have to talk about.
Absolutely.
And it's been a fun journey along the way. So I'm glad we got this far, and I'm glad we got to focus on this topic for today.
Hooray.
Yay.
So we did a bit of a whip round and spoke to some people to find out what they thought about sex.
Yeah, so what does... We did do a little vox pop. We love our vox pops here at the Vixen Hour. And it's our way, I think, of trying to invite the voices of the community into this space, because it is a 100% sex worker presented show. So to have that dialogue and have those voices present, I think, is a really good thing. So vox pops is how we do it. So we did ask a whole bunch of joysters what they thought sex meant to them, and this is what they had to say.
Fun and exploration.
It's fun and passion, and I'd say enjoyable.
It depends who I'm with at the time. Sometimes it's just an act, sometimes it's an act of love. And in our community, there's a whole range of things, especially from a lesbian point of view, and conversations around the lesbian bed death and, you know, the highly sexualized gay males and stuff like that. So I just think there's this kind of spectrum, yeah.
Sex means having a bit of fun, a bit of release, and a good hot time.
Not a lot. I don't
do a lot of it. It's rather uncomfortable. Sometimes it's better in fantasy than in reality.
Sex is intimate relations that you have with another or other people or persons.
It means a lot. It's such an important part to every relationship. I think even in a one-night stand, and I think it says so much about someone as well. And also, I think everything should be kind of reciprocal. Like, if you want something, that's cool, but then you might have to do something to get that. Just do it. Sex is awesome.
Sex is the physical representation of love.
Intimacy, fun, and a lot of mess.
Well, I think if it's done well, it's, you know, it's quite good, but there's quite a lot of amateurs out there.
Well, sex is fun, way to pass the time, and good for relationships, and makes you feel good. That's all I got.
Well, obviously, the first word that springs to mind is fun. Probably a bit too much consuming of my life, perhaps, maybe. I don't know. The first thing I think is positive when I think of sex.
It means nice relief. It means expressing myself, because I'm a little bit kinky in my outlook in the sexual world, so it means a real lot to me.
Sex to me is something that I do for fun, and I enjoy it. I can kind of shut off the emotional to it and just enjoy it as something to do.
Sex? Well, sex is that glorious part where I get to take my pants back off again. But also, it means sometimes it's a way to get out of a date really quickly. It's also a good way to shut someone up when they just keep waffling on about their day. Yeah, sex has many meanings to me.
Amazing. Thank you to the Joysters for so generously taking part in that Vox Pop.
Wow, so that's a really wide spectrum of things mean to people.
Well, I think because sex does have a lot of meaning for people, but also from what I hear from that Vox Pop is that it also has a lot of functions. Like, it's useful for doing a lot of things, whether it's adding value to a relationship or exploring, or people said things like expressing themselves. What did you hear in that Vox Pop?
I really liked hearing that sex doesn't just have to be part of a relationship. That it can have other social functions. And that it doesn't have to be about love. You can just enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just fun.
Yeah, and I think that was a really running theme, hey, was sex is fun. And
you'd hope that sex is fun. I think that if you're not having fun, you might be doing something wrong.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah.
What do you think, listener? You can text in. Tell us what sex means to you on 0427 569 949. It would be awesome to hear from you. What about you, Anastasia? Well, to ask a sex worker, what does sex mean to you?
When I'm not working?
Mm-hmm. Well, does it mean... Well, I guess the first question would be, does it mean something different to when you're working, when you're not working?
It absolutely does mean something different when I'm working to when I'm not working. What I give to people who I'm seeing as clients is quite different to what I give to people who I'm seeing for fun.
Yeah.
Or who I'm seeing who I'm in a relationship with.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I think what a lot of people are looking for is intimacy. Mm-hmm. With their sex.
Yeah.
And it's something that I do like to give to people, and it doesn't matter whether I'm in a relationship with them or whether they're a client, but it's a different sort of intimacy, and it's a different level of intimacy.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think for me, sex during work is different to sex outside of work, but that's not to say it's the same for all sex workers. I know there's a lot of sex workers for whom sex is the same inside of work and out. But for me, I do have a different approach to it. I think because it is my job, we talked about occupational health and safety on the last show. And I think the interesting thing for me is that I do have that occupational health and safety head on during sex work. And, you know, sex has to be a safe space for me. It has to be, there are things within my control at all times. And that's my approach to work. And that's whether it is sex work or whether it's my day job that is not sex work. But sex outside of that environment, it sort of has given me an appreciation for, I guess, the vulnerability, the risk, and the danger that can happen in sex. And those are things that I don't want as part of my work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. does make sense. I guess I've got a bit of an extra perspective on things because I'm also polyamorous. It means that safety is quite high on my agenda, even when I'm having sex for fun.
And I think certainly when I'm having sex for fun, safety is still there. I think it's there's much more, I guess, emotional vulnerability for me in terms of having non-work sex, because it's my opportunity to explore intimacy and that self-expression then. And I think for me, I don't want to do that. I mean, I do have the opportunity to do that at work, but it's sort of within different parameters.
I know what you mean. For myself, I would have to say that when I'm working, intimacy is something that I give someone. And when I'm not working, intimacy is both something I give someone and something I get.
That's fantastic. This is a really interesting conversation. We will be continuing it after we go to these messages. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're in the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and Anastasia. It is our 40th show, and we are celebrating with a bit of sex, because that's what you do on your 40th.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not 40 yet. I hope I'll be celebrating it with sex. Yay! That sounds great.
Awesome. Did you celebrate sex on your 40th? Did you celebrate your 40th with sex? Let us know on 0427 569 949. The next little bit that we're going to talk about is, well, I thought this might be a really interesting experiment, if you like, by asking people what did work mean to them. Because we are talking about sex, and that might be a bit of an unusual question to ask on this program, but I guess because we are sex workers, what I wanted to do was to see if, well, the way that people describe their work, would that mean, you know, the way that we would describe sex, and how would we relate to that?
Yeah, and what does it mean to do work that involves sex? And does it have any overlap with the work that other people do?
Let's see.
Let's find out.
You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Earning money and spending the day doing something.
It means filling in the day and actually doing customer service and making people happy.
Money and stability, I guess. I'm unemployed at the moment, so work would be a dream at the mo.
Work, what does it mean to me? It's that unfortunate occurrence where I have to get out of bed and put pants on.
Work is the stuff that you have to do for dollars to me. And it's usually real boring unless it's good, in which case you're lucky.
Work for me is going to an office and typing for 8 hours and then leaving the office.
Work to me means something that I have to do, that I tend to not get pleasure out of, but something you have to do to get through life.
Work is a palaver. It's a thief of time.
Generally a means to an end. It's the way I pay my bills so that I can live my life in other ways that I enjoy. I do like a little bit of job satisfaction, but it's not my entire identity.
Work means a lot to me. It's where I come to help a community. It's where I can help develop my knowledge of a community, and I can learn something every day from work.
I know lots of people say you shouldn't get your life meaning from your job, but what I want to do for my job is helping people through journalism. So basically it means a lot to me.
Okay, I'm lucky because I love my work. I'm confident in saying I have the best job in the world. For me, it's both associated with long hours and working hard, but also I'm really fortunate that I look forward to that as well. It's not a chore for me, it's a pleasure.
I'm not very familiar with what the word work means because, see, there's this existing idea that work has to be annoying or painful or something that you dislike. But the work that I do that I get paid for, I love my job. And the work that I do as a volunteer capacity, I love that as well. So it's one of those situations where work, it's a positive thing for me, and everyone has this negative connotation when it comes to work.
Well, luckily, it means doing the thing that I love most, so I'm very lucky. I think it does mean that for everyone, but I'm particularly blessed.
It means a paycheck, but you've got to have some fun. No point in going to work if you don't have a bit of fun.
Amen to having fun at work. I agree.
So we've got a bit of an overlap there.
Yeah.
Sex and work. we want them both to be fun.
Yeah, and certainly at the beginning of that vox pop, people were identifying that work possibly isn't the most fun thing to do. but that it does sort of have this sort of practical function in their life. It is dollars. It is money. Somebody said stability. I think that's a really good description of what work can bring to your life.
I absolutely hear that. Mm. Money and stability.
And one of my favourite lines in the play, The Importance of Being Earnest, is he says that he smokes Algernon, and Lady Bracknell says, well, every man needs an occupation. And it sort of reminded me that, yes, work is about taking up some time as well. So a lot of people did identify that it's something to do. So it's the doing and earning of money. Sometimes that's boring, but sometimes there's other meanings attached to it.
It is something to do, but I wonder if people would pick different things to do if they didn't have to do it.
Yeah. There certainly was that sort of sense of work is something that you do have to do.
Yeah.
And that perhaps it's not the most enjoyable thing.
I think it definitely is something you have to do unless, you know, you've inherited money or something, or you've won Tats Lotto.
Yeah.
You're one of those incredibly lucky people.
Lucky you. We are jealous. Well, I'm not jealous. I'm glad that I have to work because, and all my different types of work as well, and I'm talking about paid work as well as volunteer work, because for me, work does connect me to other people. And that's something that's quite common amongst all my jobs. So not just sex work. So in a way, I've been able to see how sex work relates to non-sex work in that connection to other people. So during the day, I work in the community sector. Quite often, I'm interacting one-on-one with people. That's a connection. And at night, I do sex work, and that's a different type of connection.
It's really interesting. Almost all of my personal connections, like all the connections I have with people, mm-hmm. are all social.
Yeah.
What I get out of work, and I do a fair bit of work that's solo, where it's just me working on something on my own.
Yeah.
And I find that getting into a position where everything flows, where your mind just gets into that almost meditative state, mm-hmm. and you're working on something and it just works really well. You know what you're doing. You feel competent and confident. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look for in work.
Yeah. I'm going to spin this conversation around a little bit. Is that what sex means to you as well?
Does sex mean being confident and competent?
Well,
because it does, actually.
Yeah. and you've talked about things like BDSM and kink and doing a whole bunch of other stuff where the skills are, you have to have quite developed skills to do that work safely and in a way that's optimal for the client. Is that a way to describe it?
Absolutely. One of the things I love doing is learning. Mm-hmm. Learning is by far and away one of my favourite things to do.
Yeah.
And if I can be in an environment where I'm learning and then I'm putting that learned experience to use, mm-hmm. that's fantastic. Yeah. I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, and certainly my personal sex life has been like that as well. So I find that, I mean, sex work has given me the opportunity to sort of shape my sexuality in a specific kind of way. But outside of that work environment, it's sort of given me the confidence and I guess some skills to be able to work out the rest of my sexuality, I want to say quite assertively or fervently, enthusiastically. How's that?
Yeah. Well, I know that definitely negotiation mm-hmm. is something that I've practiced at work, and that has come into my private life and been really useful.
Yeah.
That's been fantastic on its own. But it's interesting because I mostly see men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually get, I'm a bisexual woman, mm-hmm. so I don't get to practice all the other things I might get to practice.
Yeah, right.
And so that makes it everything else new and exciting. Yay. Outside of work.
That's it. Yeah. And that's amazing. And that's the thing, like sex work, what we're both sort of coming to is that, you know, sex work isn't the entirety of our sex lives. And certainly it's given us tools to explore sex outside of work.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It must be like being an editor and then going home and writing your own novel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly a lot of people have done that. So, yeah. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Anastasia and Christian. We are talking about sex and work and what it's like for sex workers. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Weeknights on Joy 94.9. sharing your passions. I love it.
On the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Anastasia and Christian, and we are talking all about sex. Hooray!
Or at least some things about sex.
Yay!
Sex as it relates to us and to sex workers.
Yeah, how we experience, how do you experience it? Let us know. 0427 569 949. Happy 40th episode, Anastasia.
Same to you, Christian.
Yay. Cool. What are we going to talk about next?
Well, let's talk about actual sex.
Yay.
Let's talk about some of the things that we do when we see clients and how we manage things.
Yeah. You know, what strikes me as interesting is that I've done a few different types of sex work now, and sex happens a little bit differently in each one. I guess I'll start from the beginning. So I started off doing street-based sex work, and that was a very different way to structure sex. Sex happened in a car more often than not. Sometimes we would, you know, drive to someone's place. But that was very different to when I was doing escort work. So street-based sex work is done, you pay per service, so you're paying for oral or anal or both, and the focus very much is on the sex and getting it over with as soon as possible, because quite often they weren't very, I guess, private spaces that we were doing it in, and there was that sort of constant threat of getting caught or in trouble, you know, completely illegal. We do not encourage illegal activity, but just to share that information.
there were certain priorities in place.
I also need to know, is it like really uncomfortable? Because I mean, I owned a station wagon.
Yeah.
And that was a brilliant car to have sex in the back of.
Yeah.
Because you could put it down. I actually had like foam that I put down in the back of my car. Mm-hmm. And it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that you don't always get that sort of thing.
Everybody's car is different.
Yeah.
And sports cars are really uncomfortable to have sex in, even though they are amazingly lush interiors. But I guess one of the things that happened was a lot of the time there was a big focus on oral sex, because I guess it was sort of the cheapest, quickest service that one could provide. And when a driver is sitting down in a driver's seat, that position is a little bit conducive to oral sex. You just basically have to get over the gear stick and you're fine.
Yeah.
And often, yeah, you just move that out of the way, make sure the park brakes up.
Oh, too right.
Yeah, that's an occupational hazard. But the focus is on, I guess, getting it done as quickly as possible, which is why it was a bit of a challenge for me moving into escort agency work. And suddenly I'm booked for an hour and I'm like, oh, I have to fill in this hour now with things. And at first I almost did just jump straight into it and try to get it over with as quickly as possible. But then I was like, I've got 45 other minutes that I need to do stuff in. So then that was the opportunity to explore, I guess, the other aspects of sex. So things like conversation and intimacy and oh God, foreplay. Which was fun. Like, because it wasn't this sort of focus on, yeah, get it in, get it over with as soon as possible. There was all this other stuff to do as well. And that stuff was rather fun as well.
I think it is good fun. It's amazing how much you can get to know someone, like even just physically, even if you don't really talk a lot, there's a lot that you can learn about someone while you do the massage and while you do a bit of foreplay. And different people are so different. It sounds like really trite to say, but everyone feels things differently. Everyone experiences things differently. And it's so important to try a whole range of different things, to have a whole bunch of different techniques up your sleeve.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of those opportunities, well, a lot of the sex, particularly a lot of the sex that I've had throughout my whole career, if you like, do reflect sex in how sex is practiced outside of sex work or by the general community. So, I mean, when we think of things like saunas or sex on premises venues, things like Grindr, the opportunity to not have that intimacy, to skip the foreplay, is there as well, just like there was in street-based sex work. But the sex is very different when you start to get to know the person and have an appreciation for, you know, their thoughts, their ideas, and get a sense of them as a person.
It really is. I actually think it's easier. I find it easier to get to know someone at least a bit before you get right down to whatever you're doing.
Yeah, it can be.
Depends on the person.
Oh, some people are really difficult to know. No, I'm kidding. Everybody is beautiful.
Everyone is beautiful. Some people are just a bit more awkward and, yeah, they're just a bit more reserved.
What about you, Anastasia? How has sex, I guess, manifested itself in the sex work that you've done?
One of the things that I've learned a lot about and that I've practiced a lot, particularly on my clients, is actually using my hands.
Right.
Using my hands during sex is one of my favourite things to do because there's so much variety. I mean, sure, you can just grab someone's parts and just, you know, use the same motion over and over again, and that'll get you somewhere.
Yeah.
But you can really prolong things and make things more interesting by, you know, using different twists, changing the speed and the rhythm and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've brought back into my own relationships.
Amazing. You know, one of the first memories I had of sex work peer education, I went to a, am I letting people in on one of our sex worker secrets? Oh, I will go before sex worker court if it happens. But one of the first things I remember through Skillshares and peer education was sex workers sitting around and sharing finishing moves in terms of masturbation. So, like, you know, what are the things that you do to get someone off quicker? And we were doing things like comparing, you know, the lighter. This is such a visual thing. You can't actually see what I'm doing. There were different motions, and one was called, you know, the lighter, because it looked like you were using the penis as a lighter. Or the Boy Scout, where you...
Like you're rubbing a twig.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're trying to start a fire.
Yeah.
And people would compare that. And that was one of my sort of first memories of, I guess, peer education. And that was a really interesting way to, I guess, explore sex in a sort of community context amongst colleagues.
Yeah, and in a way, it's a really low pressure environment. And that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone brings their own expertise. One of the things that sex work has taught me is, and particularly that intimacy stuff is, and oh, I so hate Tony Abbott for ruining this, but full body contact.
Oh, right. Tony Abbott, he's ruined things for a lot of us.
Yeah. Get that image out of your head and that gaff out of your head. But full body contact is amazing. And, you know, taking the time, particularly with somebody who has a disability, this was one of the first times things like naked cuddling like came into it. It did really give me the opportunity to see sex as more than just focused around like genitalia, and that, you know, that skin is such an amazing organ, your largest organ, and you can use a lot of it during sex, and it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't seen a lot of people with disabilities, but I have seen quite a lot of men who have sexual dysfunction, and yes, that is exactly the sort of thing that I do with them. It's like there's so many other things to focus on, you know. Yeah. We can cuddle, I can touch you sensually in a whole bunch of other ways, and there's, I mean, you'd be aware of, you know, skin hunger.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The phrase skin hunger, and people with disabilities get touched by people all the time, but it's not intimate touching, and it's different. People crave intimate touching.
And I guess one of the things that sex work has taught me is to be very not judgmental about the diversity of what people need from sex. So I think like sex can, when we were listening to that Vox Pop earlier, can mean lots of different things to lots of different people. For some people, it is expression. It comes from within, something that they want to get out there. For other people, it is intimacy and connection. And skin hunger is, I think, another one of those needs. So I think being a sex worker has sort of given me the opportunity to explore a lot of that, but also to become very non-judgmental about it.
I think that being a sex worker has given me the opportunity to really give something to people, you know, to value them and to value their diversity.
Yeah.
And that's something that's been really important to me.
Yeah. And, you know, sex workers, well, generally, sex workers aren't going to judge you or judge clients because, I mean, it's not really conducive to our work if we do that.
Not so much.
So, you know, to find a safe space to explore sexuality, I think is one of the real gifts I see as part of my job. And somebody, when they were talking about, you know, how they describe their work, they see it as something that contributes back to the community. For me, sex is a way of doing that.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely the same for me.
Because, you know, people's bodies are amazing. They're capable of amazing things. And I'm really glad that I'm one of the people who gets to explore what those things are.
Yeah, and people are, I mean, it's a place where people are so vulnerable. And it's, yeah, I don't want to compare it to any other sort of thing in particular, but people really need that space to be themselves.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, to not be judged.
Yeah. How can you tell clients what type of service to expect? Because, I mean, there is sort of a whole range of needs that clients have and a whole range of services that we can provide. How do you convey sort of making those match up?
It depends on what I'm offering them. It depends on whether I'm talking a massage service, sort of a rub and tug sort of thing. So a massage and then masturbating them, or whether I'm talking full service, which if I do full service, that's actually very inclusive. I do tend to offer a massage and oral and sex and kissing and all that sort of stuff, you know. I like to charge a little bit more but offer pretty much all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And then there's BDSM sort of services, which are just so incredibly diverse. You really have to negotiate hard to make sure that everyone's getting what they need out of that.
Oh, absolutely. And we might have to go to some messages right now, but when we come back, I think we should talk about services.
Yeah.
Like what are the different types, and I guess what are the different services that people are seeking? You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers, the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights. On Joy 94.9, something for everybody.
Something for everybody, and even sex workers. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Anastasia and Christian. We are talking all about sex and work and yay.
And all the sorts of things that go into services when you're having sex.
Yeah, so we, as sex workers, we do have a full toolkit, if you like, of services that are offered. Did you want to start by describing some services? Like, we sort of started beforehand. We were about to go into some BDSM services that you provide. So what are some of those things?
Oh, goodness. BDSM's really tricky because there's a whole, I mean, as you say, the toolbox is full. And the combination of all of those things can make a completely different service for people. But some of the standard things that you might come in and ask for, if you were going to ask for a named service, you might ask to come in for a tie and tease. Which would mean that you'd be bound, like using ropes or leather straps or whatever. And then depends on what sort of tease you're after. And that's part of the negotiation.
Yep.
So you might be teased sexually. Some people like to be tickled. And that's part of the tease. Some of it's verbal. So you might, you know, just say, oh, you know, this is what I'm going to do to you next. And this is what I'm going to do to you after that. But not actually do anything to them. It's all just tease. And then, you know, you might finish off with a happy ending.
Fantastic. Yay. That sounds fun. What are some of the other, you said named services. So so people do come in with specific services in mind.
They do. That's probably the most common one for BDSM. Coming in for a BDSM session depends so much on what sort of feeling you want to get during the session. It depends on, I mean, for me, I find that a lot of BDSM has to do with altered mind states.
Yeah.
So it's not just that you are really, really enjoying what you're doing, but all the sorts of things that people might think are painful can just take you into a different, it's kind of like running, you know, running, jogging. A lot of people find it pretty painful, but if you push through that and get to, you know, you get to the point where you've got lots of endorphins going and you've got a runner's high happening. Well, you can do a similar sort of thing in BDSM.
That's amazing.
But it's, you know, it's not the only reason for doing BDSM stuff, but it's one of them.
And certainly, like you said, I think atmospherics are important, like the mood.
Absolutely. Environment is key. What you say, what you, what sort of tools, like physical tools you've got around you.
And certainly, I don't think that's just restricted to BDSM, because doing private escorting, I've been asked to turn up in a Versace suit once.
Did they actually, you know, provide that?
This was, it was actually part of the negotiation. I said, oh, look, I've got one.
Ooh, nice.
So there was a bit of, and, you know, and meet me at the hotel bar beforehand. So again, when we're talking about sort of atmospherics, I guess, you know, and sex isn't just, you know, penetration. There's a lot to it. So,
oh, there's a lot to it. In fact, something I was going to talk about was foreplay starting before you even meet the person.
Oh, absolutely.
And that can be brilliant, you know, having so a couple of days, particularly if people have taken the time, they've really thought about what they want and they've started building up over a couple of days, it really heightens the whole experience.
Yeah. And that, and it might be something as complex as a, you know, a full BDSM session, or it might be, hey, meet me at the bar beforehand. I just really want to, you know, have this like casual datey situation happen. And it could be as simple as that. And, you know, that's, for me, that's part of the service. I mean, so, a lot of, some sex workers may not be comfortable with that, but I see that as, you know, part of the diverse range of services that we provide.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon that part of what we do is hooking into people's fantasies.
Absolutely. You know, sex is just, is so not spoken about. Being able to explore, I guess, one's sexuality. For some people, there isn't a lot of opportunity to do that. So I think sex workers do provide a really unique chance for people to actually explore, well, what is it that they like? Is it this sort of glass of really expensive red wine to share with someone?
Yeah.
Or is it the blowjob in your car at the back of some
somewhere. I don't know.
Exactly. And it's really hard to have that sort of experience with someone that you're in a relationship with. And if it doesn't work out well, it can be really awkward.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's with someone that, you know, you're less invested in, sometimes you can go, well, didn't enjoy that. That's all right. We'll do something different next time.
Yeah.
And it's not as, there's not as much pressure.
And I think that's sort of one of the more, I guess, the nice service orientated parts of our work is that, you know, one of the key services that we provide is lack of judgment.
Yes.
And acceptance. And it's a bit of a sad thing that that is actually a service that someone has to go out and engage, because, you know, you would hope that the general community, particularly the GLBTI community, being aware of things like prejudice and stigma, would be a lot less judgmental. But certainly I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Sure, but there are a lot. I mean, I know that I've met up with a lot of people who are living a particular lifestyle. They don't want to give up that lifestyle, but they want to try things that they don't feel are compatible with that lifestyle.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they've built up this big picture of themselves as, I don't know, for example, being a straight person.
Yeah.
And they want to engage with someone in a gay setting.
Yeah.
And they just don't feel comfortable doing it
in case
someone else finds out.
Yeah. And certainly there's a lot of sort of socialized structures that are in place that really do repress people and hold people back. And look, I'm not going to judge people for getting married, but certainly it does restrict one's, I guess, option for exploration if you sort of have committed to lifelong monogamy with one other person.
Well, it can.
Well, it can, yes. Yeah, I'm generalising.
Yeah, yeah, it can. It definitely can. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's easy to fall into a rut, if you like.
Yeah, in that situation.
And just go, well, this is what we've got. It's comfortable. It's easy. Let's just stick with doing that when maybe it's really not working for either person.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, that we can provide a space to I guess, explore the other, like outside of that safely and expressively for people is a beautiful contribution to the community.
Yeah, I like to think so. Yeah, definitely.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and Anastasia.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It is 3 minutes to 10 p.m., Anastasia.
Oh, no.
No, it's the end of the show.
Oh, dear.
Yay. Well, it's been a great 40th episode.
It has, but all good things must come to an end.
They must indeed. Thank you for joining me for this hour.
Oh, it's been great fun.
Now, I do have a little bit of an announcement to make. Over November and December, I actually will be moving into state temporarily.
Oh, man, we're going to miss you so much.
But it means that, you know, the Vixen Hour has been somewhat of a baby for me. But, you know, sometimes you've got to let toddlers walk on their own. So we will be planning. Anastasia will be handling most of the Vixen Hours that are going live to air. And we'll have a whole range of former co-hosts to come and present Sex Worker Radio to you. So that will be happening. But I'm going to be around for the next 4 weeks. So, yeah.
Phew.
You have been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Stay connected to us all throughout the week by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio or on Twitter at Vixen Hour. Well, thanks for joining me, Anastasia.
Thank you. It's been great.
We'll see you next week. You've been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.